Okay, so Nachter, we're discussing Dr. Raghavan Jayakumar's two-part article on the popularity of Carnatic music. It's a fascinating topic, especially considering how deeply rooted it is in tradition. I mean, it's not exactly topping the charts these days, is it?
Right, exactly. And it's interesting because the question itself, should we even care about its popularity, is valid. If the dedicated listeners and practitioners are keeping it alive and thriving, is that enough? It's a good starting point, you know?
It is. It's like, does art need to be popular to be valuable? But then, on the other hand, a wider audience could mean more resources, more innovation, more preservation. It's a double-edged sword, I guess?
Definitely. And the argument that increased popularity could lead to new genres and influence other musical forms worldwide? That's a pretty compelling point. Imagine Carnatic music's complex rhythms and melodies weaving their way into pop music or jazz. That would be something, wouldn't it?
Wow, that's a thought. I mean, you do hear little hints of it often, but a full-on Carnatic-infused pop song? That could be revolutionary. But it also brings up the question of authenticity. With greater popularity, would it remain Carnatic music anymore?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? It's about finding that balance between staying true to its roots and evolving to stay relevant. Think about how jazz has evolved over the decades. It's still jazz, but it's also constantly reinventing itself. Maybe Carnatic music needs its own version of that evolution?
Yeah, but with respect, right? You can't just slap a Carnatic riff onto a generic pop song and call it a day. It needs to be a genuine fusion, a real understanding and appreciation of the tradition. And that takes time and effort, you know?
Exactly. It's not just about adding a flavor of Carnatic music. It's about integrating its essence. And that brings us to the whole point about Carnatic music, holding many keys to the hearts and intellects of the people of not only India, but the world over. That's a bold statement, but I think there's a lot of truth to it. It's not just entertainment. It's a deeply moving and intellectually stimulating experience, right?
Absolutely. The complexity, the improvisation, the sheer skill involved, it's mind-blowing. And the fact that the lyrics are so intertwined with the music, that the semantic content is inseparable from the melody, that's something you don't find in every genre. It's a holistic experience, you know?
Right. And it balances the intellectual, contemplative, and spiritual aspects in a way that's really unique. It's not just about feeling good. It's about understanding, reflecting, and connecting with something deeper. Which, you know, is probably why it's been so enduring, right?
Yeah, but that's also where the challenge lies, I think. Because in a world that's increasingly focused on instant gratification and easily digestible content, something that requires that level of attention and engagement can be a hard sell. It's not exactly easy listening, is it?
No, it's not. But maybe that's okay. Maybe it's not meant to be easy listening. Maybe it's meant to be something more. Something that rewards the listener who's willing to put in the effort. Like a fine wine, you know? You have to savor it, appreciate the nuances, let it unfold on your palate. You don't just chug it down, right?
That's a great analogy. It's about cultivating a taste for it, learning to appreciate the subtleties. And that takes exposure, education, and a willingness to step outside of your comfort zone. Which brings us to the point about Carnatic music being primarily popular with South Indians.
Uh-huh. That's a big one. The perception, or maybe the reality, that it's largely confined to a specific cultural group. And the comparison to Hindustani music is interesting. The idea that a Carnatic music connoisseur would happily attend a Hindustani concert, but not necessarily the other way around. Is that really true in your experience?
I think there's definitely some truth to it. I mean, I've seen it myself. There's a certain openness and curiosity among Carnatic music lovers that I don't always see reciprocated. It's not to say that Hindustani music listeners are close-minded, but there's often a lack of familiarity or even interest in Carnatic music. It's like they're two separate worlds, you know?
Yeah, it's almost like two different languages. And if you don't understand the language, it can be hard to appreciate the nuances of the music. But that's a shame, because there's so much beauty and richness in both traditions. And the idea that Carnatic phrases, invented far earlier in time, can be found in most musical forms, quote, that's a powerful statement. It suggests a deep, underlying connection between all music, right? Yes, the Western classical music can evoke emotions with its harmony and majestic use of instruments, and evoke intellectual aspects in its counterpoint and melodic structure. Yes, Hindustani music can excel in deepening the meditative mood of the listener and even establish the atmosphere the listener intends. But I claim that Carnatic music does all this, all the time. The tears that well up in our eyes involuntarily when we hear an aptly stated musical phrase are a testament to the awesome power of the music to move our spirit.
Exactly. The author also says, the care with which we must listen to the adroit rendering of the Shruti and Raga-bound Swaras in the constraints of Tala'a is the proof of the intellectual content of the music, and finally, when the same music soars with joyous freedom even within these constraints, one glimpses the meaning of life itself. It's like Carnatic music is this ancient wellspring of musical ideas that has influenced countless other forms, even if people don't realize it. And if that's true, then shouldn't we be doing more to share it with the world? Shouldn't we be making it more accessible and understandable to a wider audience?
Absolutely. And the fact that Carnatic music hasn't made significant inroads in the West compared to Hindustani music, that's a real missed opportunity. Ravi Shankar, Ali Akbar Khan, Zakir Hussain. These are household names, at least among music lovers. And how many Carnatic musicians can you name who have that kind of recognition?
L. Subramaniam is probably the closest, but even he's known more for his fusion work than for his pure Carnatic music. And that's not to diminish his achievements, but it does highlight the challenge of showing the genius of the past and present composers and musicians breaking through to a wider audience. It's like, you almost have to dilute the tradition to make it palatable to Western ears, which is kind of a catch-22, isn't it?
It is. It's a constant balancing act. How do you stay true to the essence of the music while also making it accessible and engaging to people who don't have the cultural context or the musical background to appreciate it fully? And the observation that Western audiences find Carnatic music intriguing but struggle to grasp the musical content, that's a pretty accurate assessment, I think. They can sense the complexity and the artistry, but they don't necessarily know what to do with it, right?
Exactly. It's like trying to read a book in a language you don't understand. You can admire the calligraphy and the paper quality, but you're missing the whole point. And that's why education and outreach are so important. We need to find ways to introduce Carnatic music to people in a way that's both informative and engaging, that sparks their curiosity and encourages them to delve deeper, you know?
Yeah, it's about creating a bridge, a pathway into this incredible musical world. And if we don't, then we risk losing it, or at least seeing it marginalized and confined to a small, niche audience. And that would be a tragedy. Because Carnatic music has so much to offer the world. It's not just a cultural artifact. It's a living, breathing art form that has the power to move, inspire, and transform, right?
Absolutely. So, if Carnatic music remains primarily popular only with South Indians, what's the real impact? It's more than just a matter of pride or cultural preservation, right? It has tangible consequences for the musicians themselves.
Definitely. The financial aspect is huge. The fact that a medium-level Hindustani musician can earn 3 to 4 times what a top Carnatic musician makes, that's a pretty stark statistic. It speaks volumes about the disparity in recognition and opportunity, and that lack of financial stability can discourage young people from pursuing Carnatic music as a career, which perpetuates the problem, right?
Exactly. It's a vicious cycle. Less audience, less income, less incentive to pursue the art form, which leads to even less audience. And it's not just about the money, it's about the recognition, the accolades, the feeling of being valued and appreciated for your art. When you're pouring your heart and soul into something, and you're not getting that validation, it can be incredibly demoralizing, you know?
Yeah, it's like shouting into the void. And the feeling of being powerless to share this powerful and magical art in the face of a marketing-oriented culture.
Precisely. It's not enough to be a brilliant musician, you also have to be a savvy marketer, a skilled self-promoter. And that's not necessarily what these artists are trained for, or even interested in. They want to focus on the music, not on the business side of things. But in today's world, you almost have to be both, which is a huge burden, you know?
It is. And it raises the question of whether we should even be measuring the value of art in terms of its popularity or its commercial success. Shouldn't we be valuing it for its intrinsic worth? For its ability to move us, to inspire us, to connect us to something larger than ourselves? But that's a whole other conversation, isn't it?
It is! But it's a crucial one. Because if we only value what's popular or profitable, then we risk losing so much that's beautiful and meaningful in the world. And the argument that Hindustani music is more popular simply because there are more northerners,
That's a bit simplistic, isn't it?
It ignores the historical, cultural, and social factors that have shaped the popularity of both traditions, right?
Yeah, it's like saying that Spanish is more popular than French because there are more Spanish speakers in the world. It's not just about numbers. It's about history, power, influence, and a whole host of other things. And the comparison to Chinese music is interesting. The idea that Carnatic music is not alone in its relative lack of global popularity. Does that make it okay, though?
No, definitely not. It's like saying, misery loves company. Just because other musical forms are in the same boat doesn't mean we shouldn't try to improve the situation. And the argument that Carnatic music holds many keys to the hearts and intellects of the people of India and the world over. That's the crux of the matter, isn't it? That's why we should care about its popularity. Because it has something unique and valuable to offer the world.
Exactly. It's not just about preserving a tradition, it's about sharing a gift. And the description of Carnatic music as one of the most sophisticated forms of music, integrating simple and complex melodic and rhythmic structures. That's not hyperbole, that's just a statement of fact. The level of complexity in improvisation is astounding, right?
It is. And the way it uniquely evokes a sense of fulfillment in the listener, balancing the intellectual, contemplative, and spiritual aspects, that's what sets it apart. It's not just entertainment. It's a holistic experience that engages your mind, your body, and your soul. And the fact that the semantic content of compositions is beautifully and inseparably incorporated with the music, that's the icing on the cake. It's like poetry and music combined into one, right?
Yeah, it's a complete package. And the idea that the listener is emotionally rewarded as well, that's the ultimate payoff. It's not just about appreciating the technical skill or the intellectual complexity. It's about feeling something deep and meaningful. And the question, which music can lay claim to all this? That's a challenge to the world, isn't it? What other musical form can offer the same level of depth, complexity, and emotional resonance?
It is like the author feels, it is the fundamental form of music that can appeal to the broadest of the audience if they can get to know it.
Absolutely. It's that moment of pure, unadulterated emotion when the music bypasses your intellect and goes straight to your heart. And the care with which we must listen to the adroit rendering of the Shruti and Raga-bound Swaras in the constraints of Tala. That's the intellectual challenge, the mental workout that keeps you engaged and focused. It's like solving a complex puzzle, right?
Yeah, it's a mental gymnastics routine. And then, when the same music soars with joyous freedom, even within these constraints, one glimpses the meaning of life itself. Yes, that's the spiritual payoff, the moment of transcendence, when you feel connected to something larger than yourself. It's like a religious experience, right?
It is. It's that feeling of being lifted up, of being transported to another realm, and the idea that at least all the people of Indian origin who are united in our sensibilities should have an opportunity to experience this. That's a call to action, isn't it? It's a reminder that we have a responsibility to share this incredible gift with our own community, to ensure that future generations have the opportunity to experience its power and beauty.
Definitely. It's about cultural preservation, but it's also about personal enrichment. And that brings us to the next point, the role of bhakti, of devotion, in Carnatic music. Is it a strength or a burden? Is it what makes the music so powerful, or is it what's holding it back from reaching a wider audience?
That's a really interesting question. On the one hand, the devotional aspect is so deeply ingrained in Carnatic music. It's the foundation upon which so much of it is built. But on the other hand, in an increasingly secular society, that emphasis on religious themes can be off-putting to some people. They might see it as exclusionary or even offensive, right? Compare this to the Hindustani music which transformed in the court of Mughal emperors and king's courts to include secular and romantic compositions, and emphasizes the easily accessible aspects of music.
Exactly. It's like, if you're not Hindu, or if you're not comfortable with religious themes in general, you might feel like you're not allowed to appreciate the music. And that's a shame, because the beauty and the artistry of the music transcend religious boundaries. But the perception is there, and it can be a barrier to entry for some people. You know?
Yeah, it's like walking into a tabernacle and feeling like you have to be a member of the congregation to be there and appreciate the music. You might admire the architecture and the stained glass windows, but you may not necessarily feel like you belong. And the fact that Carnatic music seems to be practiced and learned more by people of the Brahmin caste, that's another sensitive issue, isn't it?
It is. It's a perception, maybe not entirely accurate, but it's there. And it can create a sense of exclusivity, of this being a music that's only for a certain group of people. And that's not fair, because Carnatic music belongs to everyone. It's a part of India's cultural heritage, and everyone should have the opportunity to experience it, regardless of their caste or their background, right?
Exactly. And the idea that people of other castes incorporate Carnatic music in their daily worship and popular music, that's a reminder that the music is not confined to the Brahmin community. It's a living, breathing part of everyday life for many people across different castes and communities and even the greater world population. But the perception persists, and it can be a challenge to overcome, right?